Greetings. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash, and we're working extra hard to build bridges.
Later on, victory declared for D.C.'s union kitchen workers in their effort to unionize.
We now turn our attention to a victory that was declared for D.C.'s union kitchen workers in efforts to unionize. And our guests are
Travis Action, Local 400 UFCW organizer, and McKenna Willis,
a union organizer who has been working with kitchen workers. And now, thank you both for being with us. McKenna, I want to start with you.
Now that we've finally gotten to win, you know, our union, it's been pretty spectacular.
Well, let's reel back. It is pretty spectacular, and we're going to find out why. But the spectacularness comes from having to address, which you all did, the kind of conditions. So why don't you take us to the work that you did at Kitchen Workers? What kind of place is it? What kind of conditions did you face? And then we're going to get into what drove people to this unionization drive and this wonderful victory, because we need some victories.
So Union Kitchen is a convenience-type store, and they also have a coffee bar and a sandwich area. So most of the locations are in the city, and they're a place that people like to go to pick up, like, a quick snack after work or as a last-minute run for groceries. I think it's definitely a place with a lot of regulars, loyal customers, and a tight-knit staff.
And before the victory that we alluded to before, and we'll explain that more later, before you even approached the UFCW, what were the issues that caused members in these areas, four in Washington, D.C. and one in Virginia, to discuss and work on unionization?
Yeah, I think that as a company, staff were facing extreme understaffing, underpayment, lack of benefits, and a lack of, you know, we're paid hourly, so a lack of number of hours scheduled. And essentially, things weren't getting done in stores that were becoming safety problems. And people were unable to pay their bills. I think that the breaking point came when it was announced to workers that our CEO was cutting tips, meaning that we were no longer going to be offered any tip money, and patrons were no longer allowed to tip us. And that effectively cost a lot of us around $5 an hour in pay. And it significantly changed everybody's financial picture who worked for that company. And that's when workers really, really, really needed to change and move forward with the union.
Specifically, McKenna, and we are speaking with McKenna Willis and Travis Action about the victory declared for D.C.'s and Virginia union kitchen workers in efforts to unionize. McKenna, how did that, the $5 decrease, and in general, what is a lousy wage to begin with, and long hours and hard conditions, which it always is in working in food preparation, restaurant, fast food situations. How did that affect your life? I mean, what was it like trying to live on the kind of wages you were earning?
Well, I think it's a well-known fact that D.C. is, you know, one of the most expensive places to live in the U.S., and workers were barely scraping by. I think many workers were living off around $600 a week full-time, which is really, really hard in D.C., and it was the best way I could describe it. A lot of people always felt like they were just working and sleeping and then working and sleeping. There was nothing else going on because they needed the money and they had no time to do anything else. And if they did have time, they were too tired from working. And so I think when this type of job takes over your life, it can be difficult. And I think it really, really affected workers' mental health and physical health because, you know, working this type of job, you're on your feet for 8 hours a day, every day. And so the conditions just were really hard on every worker because they're struggling to pay bills. They're having mental health problems, physical health problems, and, you know, it affects the quality of work, too.
So did you have decent, I'm being a little rhetorical here, but, you know, I want to hear you say it. So did you have decent health benefits? Did you have any consideration from the employer? Since you're also working and you've mentioned that the job had, you know, there were health issues. There were certainly mental health issues, but there were physical health issues. And when people are on speed up and when they have a lunch or an evening crowd, there's speed up and stuff and accidents happen. What kind of consideration, if any, did you have from kitchen workers? And by the way, that's not a description of who we're talking about. For those who are not in D.C., in Virginia, that is the name of the place. So how considerate on those issues was the employer?
We did have a healthcare plan that was offered to us. It was very minimal. It didn't really cover anything other than preventative care, which I think a lot of people were facing things other than preventative at this point. It was kind of hard to access. It was through Kaiser, and they don't have a ton of offices in D.C. necessarily. So they were offered, but it was very minimal and not the easiest to access.
So you got together with people from workers from the five different locations, four in D.C. and one in Virginia, and you started forming a union and you contacted the United Food and Commercial Workers Union to help you. What was the reaction of management? Did they take any kind of retaliatory action?
Yeah. So workers filed in late January and immediately a lot of leaders began getting written up for things like being a minute late. And when I say a minute late, I mean like clocking in a minute late. Or they talked about incidents that might have happened a year ago. And so they were being written up for all this stuff that just didn't make any sense. And these workers have been working there for a long time, too, and had never been written up until now. And that was just immediate retaliatory action. And then not long after that, a organizer at our 9th Street location was fired, Rob Ballack. And I think once he was fired, you know, there was a big uproar. In early February, two stores did choose to go on strike, and they held a picket line outside of two of our locations, 9th and Eckington, on Saturday and Sunday with signs and chants, and they really successfully prevented business for those days. And I think the retaliation has never stopped. It was definitely the hardest in the beginning. I think everybody was a little bit surprised by it because of the outlook that the company has of this very liberal, pro-union look on the outside. And I think nobody was expecting the harsh reality of the union busting that was taking place.
Yeah, it sounds like Starbucks. It sounds like so many of these companies, a complete charade. Once somebody says, we want fair wages and decent conditions and a voice, my gosh, in the workplace and a grievance procedure. Oh, my God, do the fangs come out. So Travers Action, and I am not describing you, although I might be, that is your name. What a wonderful name for a union organizer and with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. Talk about how the UFCW got involved and what your experience was in terms of the broader picture, some of which McKenna Willis has described as to the conditions the kitchen workers were facing. And thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. It's a real pleasure. Yes, so we were reached out to by some of the workers at Union Kitchen in October of 2021. They started describing some of their working conditions that McKenna has referenced. And we, you know, took an interest immediately. They had a very well, you know, they had a good little group there that they were already organizing. They were already busy doing the work of forming a union. And so we really, we saw that. We saw the issues that they were facing and immediately knew that this is, you know, this is a campaign. This is a group of workers that deserve to have a union, deserve to have a voice on the job, deserve to have a fair contract. And we, you know, got right on it and filed for an election in late January. Ballots went out in early March, and then ballots were counted late March. And the workers won their union then, but the employer, you know, in the same vein as their retaliatory union busting, tried to put up some legal roadblocks to the formation of their union. They tried to challenge the election, you know, in the same way that other sort of unsavory characters in our political landscape have done. They tried to overturn the result of the union election. And
you think this is like Amazon?
Amazon, you know,
there's kind of a prototype now. They all get together. I think they have Christmas dinner together or Thanksgiving probably, and they all get together and they say, how are we going to thwart the efforts of people to organize in their own benefit, because they create all the wealth, but we're the ones who want to covet it.
Indeed. No, that's exactly right. And the good news is, just like Trump lost the election, the oppressor was overcome. The workers have won, and we are so excited to get onto you know, the business of negotiating a contract for these folks.
Now there's still a lot of work to do, especially the idea that five workers were ultimately fired, and the NLRB has to say something about that. And then, of course, the question is whether the company will try to stall the contract interminably. So what do you do about that?
And, of course, when we say the NLRB, that's National Labor Relations Board, which is presumably a little less reactionary under the Biden administration than it was under the Trump administration. But, yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as soon as we started seeing the retaliatory behavior on the part of the company, we, you know, immediately filed charges. We filed over a dozen unfair labor practice charges, charges that alleged that the company violated federal labor law, and we filed those with the National Labor Relations Board. And like I said, we filed over a dozen of those. They have informed us, the union, that nearly every one of those charges, the board has found merit in, and that the workers who were fired and who were retaliated against will be, number one, getting their jobs back, and number two, you know, there's the company will be held to account by the National Labor Relations Board. So that's really great news for the workers. And then, you know, next step is going to be negotiating a contract. And we fully expect the company to delay that for as long as possible. We are going to combat that with, you know, with organizing, with getting workers involved, with making sure that the workers at Union Kitchen know that this is their contract and that it's going to be as good as we can possibly get it, but it takes everybody. It does take a group effort, and so, you know, we're going to be fighting for that. We're not going to allow them to delay us any longer because it's already it's already been too long, and these workers deserve a fair contract.
So, McKenna Willis, Travis Action, what do we do? Let's start with McKenna and then rotate back to Travis. What do we, as consumers, and goodness do I consume, I'm heading straight to kitchen workers, if I should, when I'm in a D.C., Virginia, and so on. What is it that you need us to do to make sure that these Simon Legrees, that these horrible employers toe the line and give folks a fair contract, take back all the workers, and hey, we're still coasting off of the wonderful song by David Rovix. Can't wait until all the minimum wage workers go on strike. But later for that, what do we do to support and make sure that you folks have a great contract? McKenna Willis and then Travis Action, and we have about a minute left apiece.
Yeah, so first off, I just want to make it clear that we are not asking for a boycott at this time. We do want to still support the small business, and I think all the workers there still believe in the mission of this business. What we are asking for is continued community support through following our social media, going into stores and congratulating workers, and really just showing up to workers and being able to say, like, I have your back, because that is what has allowed us to continue forward over 6 months of dragging out this election. And the fact that we've had so many amazing community members reach out and congratulate us, I think has meant the world to all of the workers, and it's been such a privilege to be able to be a part of such a great community.
So Travis Action, in the 30 seconds we have left, what was the best chant of all to support the kitchen workers in their efforts to unionize?
The best chant that we saw on the line was it went something like, light it up, shut it down, D.C. is a union town. It was something along those lines. But definitely, as McKenna said, come into the stores, patronize the stores, tell the workers behind the counter that you support them in their union efforts, order a union strong coffee or a solidarity coffee just like you might do at Starbucks. And, follow our social medias. Twitter is UK Workers United. And we're gonna be bargaining a strong contract with these folks.
And Instagram.
United Kitchen Workers.
We will see the workers at Kitchen Workers. We will assure that they have a great contract. Travis Action, McKenna Willis, hooray, victory declared for DC Union Kitchen Workers and efforts to unionize. And we will be there. And we hope all those workers take up the issues for our bodies, our choice. We have to make it a full press effort for human rights, and bodily autonomy is part of union rights.
When I awoke one morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet, things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with Joe Hill at the mic. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike, there was no one pumping gasoline, no one driving from town to town, no one at the registers, all the highways were shut down. The cars were stuck in the garage, CEOs on breaks. When all the minimum wage workers went on strike, there was no one flipping burgers. All the grills were cold. Onion rings were in their bags. Fries were growing mold. There were no baristas shots would you like when all the minimum wage workers went on strike? The fruit was falling off the trees, no one to load the truck. Corn was rotting on the stalks, no farmhands to shuck. The workfare workers were hanging at home, spending the day with their tykes, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. Yuppie parents were housebound, their nannies left the job. Walmart workers said enough of our labor has been robbed. The footlocker was locked up, boss had to take a hike, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike. When I awoke one morning, there was a feeling in the air. Everything was quiet, things were different everywhere. The Wobblies were back again with T-Bone at the mic, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike.
Now, here's what other union kitchen workers said about their experiences fighting for a union.
It was just mistreatment of workers. It was theft of our wages.
Management made it very clear that they weren't interested in doing the right thing, and we needed to respond to it ourselves.
All of a sudden, when we go public, people are having their jobs threatened. I was fired for showing up and clocking into my shift on time. We organized a petition that had unanimous support from the workers that we were talking to demand access back to the sales and the tip reports from Square. We delivered that to Colin and he laughed in our faces and told us he would look into it.
Company distributed what they called bonuses. They were very careful never to use the term back pay. They were very careful to describe them as bonuses that would make us feel happy about any potential discrepancies that might have existed.
He refused to give us access to the Square point of sale financial data, which we had previously always had access to.
After they announced the bonuses, there was still money that was being taken. We were still experiencing the wage theft.
This was not actually a bonus. This was back pay that their expensive lawyers told them that they legally needed to pay out to us lest we, you know, sue them and make them have to pay out even more.
We've made between $6 and $6.50 an hour in tips. It's a lot of money. Management's solution to their own wage theft was to remove the option to tip in our stores.
They have illegally threatened and intimidated workers at my location and other locations for their involvement in the union. I personally was fired for my involvement in the union.
They threatened my job for entirely made up reasons. They claimed that I was wearing sandals in January and threatened my job as a result. They've threatened two other workers at 9th Street. They've cut my hours down from 35 to 36 normally. I'm working 19 and a half this week.
One of the people I'm working with has to support her parents on the salary. Another one, you know, has a family, right? So these people, they cannot afford to miss 5 hours of work. They just cannot because they're living paycheck to paycheck.
The company has gone on just an absolute hiring blitz to try and drown out the pro-union voices on the team.
They've been going around saying, these folks from the union are anarchists who just want to burn my company down. They just want to destroy Union Kitchen. These are attacks on the people that they're supposed to take care of. And that's just really sad. It's really heartbreaking. It's really upsetting. I think the union busting campaign that management has embarked on is an abandonment of the values that they purport to believe in.
We sit down to this meeting and it's just him talking to himself, essentially. He said that, you know, a union wouldn't bring higher pay. In fact, it might actually drop our salaries, and was just trying to kind of scare people, saying union dues are going to cost you so much, you know, you're not going to be able to afford stuff.
It's been really, really beautiful to see the community support that we've received, you know, from all of our regulars. You know, they see our union buttons and, you know, they ask us how the fight is going. They tell us to keep it up. You know, folks come in and order coffee and say their name is Solidarity. Union Kitchen needs a union. And we're going to win this election. We're going to go through contract negotiations, and we're going to win the things that we deserve.
I'm hoping to see hopefully $20 an hour minimum. The living wage in Arlington is around $19.50. So I expect a living wage for all workers, and I think that's the bare minimum. You know, businesses aren't successful if they can't pay their workers a livable wage.
Every workplace deserves a union, and the people that are willing to stand up to companies like Starbucks and demand their rights as workers has just been unbelievably inspiring. And, you know, I think that we've taken some lessons from their campaign, and I hope that they've, you know, seen what we're doing and they realize that they've inspired a whole wave of coffee shops and other small businesses around the country to follow in their footsteps. It's time to stop messing around and actually listen to your workers. It's unbelievably important that if you're gonna showcase yourself as a progressive company that's a member of the community, you actually help out those workers that are so excited and proud to join the company in the first place that they wanna spread your company's mission out there.
And we will continue to educate, agitate, and organize to empower we the people for another world is possible if we choose to and work to make it so. Thanks for listening.